Welcome back to the Dumb Phone Show. My name is Jose Briones, and today we have a very special guest from Toronto, all the way from Canada. Her name is Mehret Biruk, and if I did not butcher that name, she's going to correct me. But Mehret, tell us a little bit more about yourself, and how do you encounter digital minimalism?
Hi. So yes, you got my name right. I'm Mehret. How I describe my journey towards digital minimalism is that I'm on a journey to rediscovering the pleasures of the offline world. And I actually got that idea from the book Digital Minimalism by Carl Newport. Very famous book. If you haven't read it, I would highly recommend it. So basically, I spent a lot of time thinking about getting away from the digital space, getting away from social media, getting away from how much time I spend on my phone. But what I didn't really pay attention to was that, okay, what now? What am I going to do with the time, the focus, the attention? Where was all that energy going to be spent? So I was doing a lot of back and forth, right? Quit for a little bit, feel kind of bored, isolated, and then go back to the digital space looking for connection, looking for entertainment. So the aspects of finding things to do offline and just discovering like the beauty of the outdoors and writing and doing things with my hands, that has been like the best part for me regarding digital minimalism.
That sounds like a lot. As I listen to your experience, I find a point of connection, because sometimes I do think, and I've been wondering, hey, I don't spend time online as much anymore. I do have some online time where I go on Reddit, or I may publish a video, or I may answer a couple of comments here and there. But my online time is so much different nowadays than it used to be, since I'm not a heavy user of social media. I'm not doing all of these heavy online tasks. And you're speaking about finding stuff to do offline. I think for now, I've been able to find something to do. I'm studying for my graduate record examination test. So that takes a lot of my time, essentially. But there's a lot of people that have that feeling. So what have you encountered in your journey? What are some of those activities that you can recommend to people to pick up or to rediscover once again, activities that were maybe normal in the past, but nowadays it's kind of like, oh, that's kind of a hobby that I don't want to pick up because I have more entertainment in the dopamine hits that social media provides.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's actually the biggest challenge that a lot of us face. Like you mentioned, finding things to do that are not online. To answer your question, like what are the things I do or I have done? So go outside is the biggest advice I would have, or the thing that I've done in my life that has changed the game for me. Go for a walk. And what I love about that recommendation or advice, like go for a walk, it's simple, and hopefully that you don't have any physical alignments that stop you from doing so. Then you have all the tools, all the ability available to just go for a walk. And it's a beautiful experience. You can do it with other people if you want, with friends, your partner, family members, whoever is around you. You can. Another thing I love doing is talking on the phone when I go for a walk. Or you can just go to a park, like just find ways to be outside. I think there's something to be said about getting fresh air, just looking at the trees. And I think a lot of us know that, like instinctually, like even before I started doing it, like I knew it was something that I should do, but I was just too distracted on my phone. And it's just easier to be on my phone than to, you know, change, put on shoes and go outside. Other things that I've been finding useful, and this is going to sound maybe too simple, but think about the little things you do throughout your day and remove the digital aspect of it. So this, I don't know if it's TMI, let me know, but like, why do we bring our phone when we use the washroom? So basically what I'm trying to say is that it doesn't have to be some grand gesture to spend time offline. It just can be in a way, remove those little moments. You run to your phone, you run to your laptop, you run online, just pause for a bit and take away the digital aspect and just be in that moment. So yes, when you use the washroom, when you cook, that's one thing I am really working on right now. I don't need to be listening to music or watching YouTube while I cook. Just engage with that experience and that the act of, you know, chopping the vegetables, smelling the food, tasting it. You know, it's just such a beautiful process. And it's going to be different for everyone depending on what you do with your day. But I have found just removing my phone from these little tiny activities, the best approach I've done then, like that, you know, quit social media.
As you mentioned, some of those activities, I think it's what maybe what you're trying to get to is that the mundane, you know, the activities that are so mundane in our everyday lives can bring joy if enjoyed from an offline perspective. And when you do that, you get to appreciate them in a different light, of course. However, there's a counter argument, right? Like a lot of people listening, they may have a smartphone or they may have a dumb phone, you know, because dumb phones can be distracting. It's not necessarily mean that you're a digital minimalist because you have a dumb phone. I guess you may be in that path or you may intersect, but it doesn't mean that you are a digital minimalist. But the dopamine hits are so rich as well, right? Like, you know, getting the likes, getting to share online activities with other people that you love, getting to see the pictures from your friends. These are things that keep us hooked to the platform. And there's a reason why, because we enjoy it as human beings. We enjoy seeing what our friends are doing or maybe what a random YouTuber is doing. So what have you found to be helpful to detach from those things? Since you're a smartphone user, it's a little bit more difficult than if you have a tiny screen and cramped buttons like many feature phones have. So what is something that you have found to be helpful throughout this journey?
Yes, that's a very good question, but I do want to address what you said about the mundane brings joy. I think you said it beautifully. I'm a writer, so I'm more articulated when I write than when I talk. So I appreciate you just doing a little summary of what I'm trying to communicate in a very concise manner. So thank you for that. But here is the thing. I think one thing we don't understand about dopamine is that you can actually get dopamine from doing tasks that you might think are mundane, but how the dopamine, or it's referred to as the pleasure reward system, right? So you can do the dishes and you get dopamine hit. Now, it's not as strong as what we might get, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it might be just similar, but maybe the difference is that when we're just scrolling through our phone, it's that instant gratification, right? We didn't put a lot of effort, but we get that dopamine hit. But when we make the effort, we have to put in the work to get the dopamine. But I would actually argue that the dopamine hit we get from doing things like taking action is a lot more, like long-term, a lot more satisfying than the dopamine hit we get from scrolling through social media or scrolling through Reddit. Any online activity that is just gives us that quick hit, but then long-term, we're just like, what did we do? We didn't even do anything to get it. But in nature, dopamine should be to encourage us to take actions that benefit us, right? If we look at it when we were in primal times, right? Dopamine was there to encourage us to continue to look for food. That's the reward aspect. So it's actually better to do activities that benefit us and get dopamine from that than from social media or our smartphone.
I absolutely agree with you on that point, because you can see thoroughly that when you have activities, like let's say going on a walk, you mentioned that. That's something that I do recommend a lot of people do, especially because we have become more sedentary as a result of many things through technology, and also because of the current situation in the world. We have become a little bit more sedentary than we used to be, even last year or comparing to 2019. But going on a walk can be extremely effective. It gives you that dopamine, but it takes more effort. So a lot of people do, like you say, stay in the couch and receive the dopamine with very low effort. But whenever you are able to receive dopamine with high effort, you will continue to come back because it has other, you know, secondary benefits as well. So if you walk outside, if you do the dishes, that's cleaning your space. That is also just moving and helping your system not to be clogged with all the food that you ate. So there are secondary benefits that the dopamine hits can give you. Whereas if you're sitting in the couch and you're just, you know, listening to something or watching something, you do receive some dopamine benefits, but you don't receive any of the secondary benefits. And the contrary, you actually are dying faster. But I forgot about the question that I asked you, which was, as a smartphone user, how do you curb those needs? There is more, maybe you use an app, or maybe you use a service, or I don't know if like you have any recommendations for those people that, you know, I cannot leave my smartphone for a dumb phone. I have to use a smartphone, but I also want to adopt digital minimalism. So what can I do?
Yes, I forgot to address that question. So I do use a smartphone. I have an iPhone. And what I have found works for me is removing the apps that are the most distracting. So I'm back on Instagram now, but I was off social media for a little bit. So when I was on social media, I didn't have to deal with removing apps from social media. But I do recommend that. But the one thing that has really made change the game is that I removed Safari or browsing app on my phone. So the iPhone gives you, there's an option in our settings where you put restriction. And I think it's like parental control, right? So you can remove apps, you can remove your ability to download apps, you can block certain apps and certain features in the iPhone. So I actually asked my partner to put a passcode on it. And I removed Safari, I removed my ability to download apps, and there was one more thing I have blocked. Yeah, and just no access to any web browsing, even on other apps that might allow access for that. So that turned my iPhone from this device that I would just go on when I was bored, when I didn't know what to do, to like just a tool. I use it to call, text, my Uber app, my banking. So just very practical, very useful, but there's nothing else I can do with it. And I have the library app. I always say like that's the most interesting app on my phone now. And I use that to read books, listen to music. I get my music from the library as well. I decided to delete Spotify because it was just too much and clearing out my digital footprint. So yeah, I feel like I've turned my smartphone into a kind of a dumb phone, but while also keeping like the maps, Uber, you know, all this stuff that people say like, but I need my phone. Okay, that's fine, you need your smartphone, but do you need Instagram on your phone? Do you need even browsing, right? Like for some people it might seem like, what do you mean you don't have browsing on your phone? But really, I don't need to have it on my phone. I don't need to be able to Google something on my phone to make my day-to-day life more practical or convenient. So that is how I have applied, like how I use my smartphone in a way that doesn't take too much time or that doesn't distract me and keep me stuck on it.
So it seems to me that you're using some techniques kind of in order to limit your smartphone use. The parental controls I've heard is very effective. It's one of the tools that I actually recommend to people that say, I would love to get a dumb phone, but I can't because of X app for my work or X app for my safety or security. You know, I need my partner to know where I am. You know, people do feel this need nowadays just because we have introduced it through the smartphones. And I say, well, use parental controls, either on Google or on iPhone. Ask your partner or maybe a friend, keep this code in case that I actually need it for some crazy emergency or whatnot. And, you know, overall, you're not using most apps. You're using just a couple selected apps that are tools and not something that can lead to a lot of distraction. And I think that's a very good way of thinking about it. So thank you for sharing that. You are also a content creator. You create content on newsletters. And well, you said you're now back on Instagram, probably with a mission to share, right? Digital minimalism and help people. It's essentially being where the people are so that people can follow you and eventually quit. Is that your goal as a content creator? What are the things that you have found as coming back into the platform to be very difficult or to be very different than when you first left?
Yes, you got it right. I actually got on Instagram again. I never thought I would. I was off Instagram for 7 years. And it definitely was one of my better decisions because I was just I was just starting my first year undergrad. So I think it played a lot of role in me just developing as a person without being plugged in, comparing myself to my peers on Instagram. So now that I'm back on it and it was to share my message as a content creator with digital well-being, life tech balance. I'm trying not to be harsh about Instagram, but honestly, the experience being back on it has been underwhelming. And the reason for that is once you step back from these platforms, you are able to notice how, for instance, connection is very shallow, like comments, and the comments are not usually, you know, in depth or anything like that. People just say, oh, I like this, or leave an emoji. And I will be honest, like the first few months, I was very excited about sharing my message, and I was on it all the time, creating stories, creating content like posts. And because I was able to survive a long period of time, isn't it funny? I use the word survive without Instagram, but I was able to just function without Instagram and have that break and a way to step back and see life without it. It was just not satisfying, and it was taking a lot of my time. And that was one thing I was just very iffy about after coming back, because I'm like, okay, I'm spending a lot of time on this app, but I don't feel more connected with people, even though I have more people liking my stuff, following me, leaving comments. And it's just the way the whole platform is made. Again, the only word I can use is just not humane. There's just something very lacking on that platform. So what I have found actually funny enough works is that Reddit, I think because it's a forum and it does, it's just people actually share their thoughts and they tell you what they think, what they feel, what they're struggling with when I'm trying to share my experience with digital well-being or lifestyle balance. That somehow feels more like human to human connection than on Instagram, where too shallow. I hope that kind of answers your question. And I know it's funny to say Instagram is less humane than like Reddit, where you don't even see people's faces, right? But that has been kind of my experience with going back on Instagram.
I'm going to attempt to summarize what you said, and I'm not trying to, you know, kind of like take what you said, but the reason why I'm trying to summarize it is because it's also pertinent to my own experience, where I left social media about a year ago, and I recently just started creating because I want to create more to reach out to people that may be attuned to the message of digital minimalism that may want to leave through dumb phones or whatever it is that, you know, I produce content. And the thing that I noticed, maybe what you said resonated with me so much, because it seems to me that we are not looking for admiration anymore. Whereas when we first created our Instagram pages, we were kind of like, oh, I can become a celebrity. I can do this. I can get thousands of likes and whatnot. But nowadays, I don't really care about that. I've been off of the platform so long that that doesn't define my worth anymore. Therefore, if you like me, sure, good, great. And I'm glad that you are helping my post go up in the algorithm. But if nobody watches it, it's not going to destroy my personal image. And I also want to agree with you on the Reddit thing. I find Reddit a very conducive platform for conversation. Yes, there is toxicity, as with in any platform, you know, that social platform, you're going to find toxicity. But it's a better forum to allow you for deeper conversation and more meaningful encounters than just a couple of replies and little likes on Facebook or Instagram. So that's why most of my maybe interactions with the digital world have been through Reddit, because I find more value in connecting with humans there. So talk to me a little bit more about how you found Reddit, and was it after you left Instagram, and how you're using Reddit to share some messages and interact with users? And also, what's your Reddit name?
So I will talk a little bit about Reddit, but I want to address what you said about looking for admiration. Honestly, you have helped me kind of put into words what that disconnect was for me coming back on Instagram. That is exactly what it is, because like 7 years ago when I was on Instagram, I was looking for people to like my pictures. I was looking for people to like what I shared, comment to tell me how they liked it. I was chasing that outside external validation. And now that I'm not looking for that, I'm just looking for people to talk about digital well-being and like sex balances because I'm just so passionate about it. And that wasn't happening. That's what I realized. People would watch my stories, like, comment, but it was just kind of, oh, hey, I like this, like I mentioned earlier. And it was just not fulfilling anymore because that's not what I was looking for. So thank you for saying that. That now I have a better way of explaining my experience with Instagram now, instead of just saying I hate it or it's a shallow platform. So on Reddit, my username is digitally minimally. You can find me. It's attached to me as a person. So I'm not really hiding behind an anonymous name. On it, I actually discovered Reddit a while back in 2016. I actually discovered Reddit right after I quit social media. And this kind of goes back to what I said about finding things to do offline. I quit social media. I felt very good about myself, but I was spending a lot of time on Reddit. And I wasn't even a registered Reddit user at the time. I was just what they call lurking the whole time. That was me. That was my experience. And I felt this sense of being kind of a fraud because I'm not on social media because, ooh, the internet, bad, wasting my time, wasting my attention. But I was on Reddit all the time. And what I have realized about that, which I want to mention because I think it's so important, is that I was looking for connection. That's all it was. I was just looking for hearing people say things about whatever topic I was interested in. And this is why it's important to cultivate those needs that we have for connection, for our dopamine. Like these are just very natural needs. So find a way to get them in the offline space. Because if you don't, then you quit social media and then you're on Reddit. You quit Reddit and you're on YouTube. Because your brain is always in that space of like wanting to connect, wanting to do things. So that's an important topic. Besides that, so I actually created an account on Reddit just so I can join the subreddit. You might be familiar with it, NoSurf, Digital Minimalism. And there are a few other ones that's all about digital well-being. So Reddit has been great because, like I said earlier, people actually talk about things. You know, they will say, I like this because, and they give you a very thorough explanation of why they care about something. Or if they disagree with you, people will tell you, they will say, you're completely wrong. And this is why I think you're completely wrong. And this kind of goes back to, again, like on Instagram, people don't really say that. And once you're not just looking for that quick admiration through likes and just a bunch of emojis under your pictures, you actually want people to engage with you in depth. So I found Reddit great in that sense. Of course, Reddit has the whole like dislike thing and people can just downvote. That's what it is. Downvote your posts a lot and then you don't even know what happened. That also happens on Reddit. But when people actually make the effort to say something, if they say enough at the very least and a lot, I guess they're super into it. So I really enjoy that. I honestly just enjoy that people are people on Reddit. I feel like maybe it's the fact that it's anonymous that just kind of makes them feel like they can be open and share their thoughts, which is also a very interesting thing to explore. And I remember somebody at my meetup event one time saying that there's actually this sense of like almost a framework for how you should comment on things on social media, right? And then they said that if you look at it, it's very repetitive. Like everybody just has like these like 5 to 10 ways of what you should comment under pictures. And they just repeat that over and over again. And I started paying attention and it's true. Like pick any picture, see what people say. And it's a very specific emojis that are being used. Very like specific phrases that people put under pictures, and it just repeats itself over and over again. And I don't know if that's just a way of presenting ourselves on social media because it's attached to us and we want to come off as maybe cool or just someone who says the right things. But on Reddit, people, it's anonymous. They can just say they're not trying to keep up this persona. honestly, that's what I love about Reddit. Just people tell me what I need to hear or what I want to hear, whichever one it is, in detail.
I agree with you. I found my interactions in Reddit to be positive most of the time. I mean, from time to time, you're going to have a negative interaction, but for most of the time, I really enjoy them because people are honest. They tell you their opinions and they'll continue moving on, you know, and it's not a page, it's not a post, it's not a wall. You can follow the topics that you're interested in and you can leave the other topics that you're not interested in. You're also not advertised as heavily. You do get some advertisements from time to time, but there are less advertisements than on Instagram or Facebook, where I feel like I'm constantly watched and then cater to all of my little preferences, you know. But something that I'm kind of curious about is from your perspective, right? You left social media, you're back in social media to share digital minimalism, to talk about it. But where do you see these trends going? How are you interacting with the digital minimalism trend as a whole since you have been out of the scene for a while? So what are you seeing that it's going to, is this going to continue, or are people just going to say, you know what, let's embrace the smartphone, quit it, no digital minimalism, this is ridiculous, this is garbage, let's not get through it? What has been your experience when sharing the message, when talking with people, and also where do you see this movement going?
I think this movement is going in the right direction in some way, which is that just like we noticed that there was something wrong with the way we interacted with social media, our smartphones, a lot of people also noticed that. Talk to anyone, tell anyone, oh, like, I'm spending a lot of time on my phone, and they will agree with you. They will say, oh my God, me too. People understand that these platforms are taking a lot of their time, a lot of their attention. And so that is the way I feel the digital well-being movement is going on the right direction. But what I don't think there is enough of, and that's why I'm trying to do the whole, like, rediscover the pleasures of the offline world, let's find things to do, because people understand there's a problem, but then they think, well, if I quit my social media, what am I going to do? How am I going to connect with people? If I give up my smartphone, how am I going to get around without my map or without, you know, having that instant access to people? So, and then this is where I think the digital well-being movement or the digital minimalism needs to really start having this conversation about what then. Because I think people know there's something really wrong with the way they interact with their phone, how much information that's being collected on them, how much it's affecting young people, right? Youth, children. So it's very important. I really believe it's so needed, but we just need to really start the conversation on what is these platforms, what are the needs that they're providing for people, which I think is the biggest one being connection, and how can we create those connections outside of those platforms, outside of spending, what's the average time a person spends on their smartphone a day, like 4 hours, 5 hours? Right? How can we create connection without spending 2 hours on social media, which is also the average time the average person spends on their on social media? I think that that's where my thought is at, in terms of just paying attention to what's happening, how people are talking about it, and what I feel is like working and what needs a little bit more push or more conversation around.
So you think that, I think I agree with you, and insofar that we have a lot of people talking about this is the problem, but we don't have a lot of solutions. And maybe let me counter a little bit. Could it be because the solution is so personalized that we cannot make it so for everyone? See, social media is quite a big boat, and you can find everything that you want in there. So, for example, I live in a very small town, probably 12,000, 13,000 people, not a lot of people, maybe a little more, at least 12,000 registered voters. I'm thinking of the census, you know, I do work with that. So I'm thinking like maybe we have like 25,000 people, maybe less, in my area. And not everyone likes what I like, right? But if I go on social media, I'm able to find and instantly connect with a community that likes chess, or that likes woodworking, or that likes digital minimalism, right? So could it be that the reason why there are no offline do-it-alls is because each individual person needs to discover it by themselves? It's just a, kind of like a suggestion, I guess, from my thinking. But what would you recommend people? How can they find pleasure in the offline world? Once again, what are some of those discovery tools? Maybe we need to create them.
Yes, that's a very good question. And I can't imagine living in a very, like, such a small town with such a small number of people. I'm in Toronto, maybe it's a very big city. But even that doesn't really make me feel more connected, because everyone is online. You connect with people through your social media, your phone, Reddit, the internet. So your question is that how could you discover offline modes of connection and things to do?
Yeah, essentially, you know, as I continue to think about how can I find offline activities, I live in a small town and there's not a lot of people that do offline activities anymore. There's no book clubs. There's no chess clubs. COVID is happening. You know, there's a lot of things that are occurring nowadays that are limiting the activities that I can do offline. Sure, I can go on a walk and that can get me into, it can be built into a nice habit, but I'm not going to be walking all day. I really need to find other offline activities. Of course, I may go to work for maybe 5, 6, 7 hours, 8 hours, depending on how much you work. But if I'm working from home, then what? Do I leave the comforts of my home to be exposed to all of these, you know, different things? And what if there's not anyone in my area? Of course, there has to be someone. But the way we think is like, oh, there's no one else in my area, right, that enjoys this offline activity like I do. Nobody likes to play chess. Nobody likes to read books, right? Or the books that I like to read. So how can we go about finding these communities? Let it not be through online mediums only, but also in the offline world. Do we need to get lost once again and not use Google Maps maybe?
Yes, there's actually research showing that when we interact with space through context without like using Google Maps, just telling you like turn left, turn right, but really you pay attention to, okay, this building is here and I turn left at this little cute cafe, and then you use that to kind of discover the area around you, and that helps us with memory. It's just good for the brain. So yeah, maybe we should be okay with getting lost without Google Maps. That's not the worst idea. So in terms of finding offline activities, but more importantly, offline communities, here's the thing. It's just difficult. It's hard. We're all moved online. I'm not going to pretend to have the answer for finding offline communities. What I would say is that the more I disconnect from, you know, social media and spending too much time on Reddit, the deeper I feel connected to the people in my life. I don't know if that's a community, but my friends, family, my partner, and I'm just working on that, right? Texting people, calling people, sending voice notes. And I think for most of us, we can start there. Start small. Start with the people you already know that are already in your life that you just don't talk to that much, because we're all just looking for this thing online, this community that agrees with us on everything. It's actually better for us to, I believe, to, you know, connect with the older people in your life and ask them what they think about certain things. Maybe it would blow your mind how they view the world and their perspective on things, instead of always looking for opinions from people who think exactly like you. You know, and what's the fun in that, right? People that don't even challenge you. You know what? Maybe we're so wrong about digital well-being. Maybe if we talk to someone who lived without the internet, they might tell us, hey, you have no idea how lucky you are to live in a time where you have this access, right? And if that's good, then we can explore things in a more critical way. And now for more, I guess that is practical, but like I said earlier too, do things in your day-to-day like the mundane stuff without your phone, without, you know, music, without watching YouTube video. Just think about, like, in the morning, you know, when you make coffee, do you really need to be scrolling through your phone? Which a lot of people do, like, and I used to do it too, and I still have to be very conscious of that. Maybe try, yeah, when you cook, that's the one thing. I'm just going to keep bringing it up, you know. Cook without your phone, without YouTube, without, you know, and it doesn't have to be every time you cook, but maybe a few times a week, you know, or maybe when you think, you know what, today I spent a lot of time maybe on a Zoom meeting and it was just too much like that plugged in experience. So when I cook dinner, I'm not going to be on my phone. I'm not going to listen to anything. What else? I don't know how else, but maybe if you usually read ebooks on your phone, on a tablet, maybe change that to physical books. Just simple ways of staying in the offline world. And I think that also helps you digest, like consume things and digest them better. And then when you connect to people, you're actually able to connect with them and digest what they're saying to you or talking to you about better, because you've trained your brain just to kind of calm down, take things in, and, you know, just interact with information better instead of just jumping from one thing to next, which social media does.
Those are great tips, Mehred. I honestly really enjoyed just listening to your thoughts. Just the idea that, hey, we can spend more time offline. We can start removing those temptations, I guess, you know, from the smartphone world. Of course, if you have a dumb phone, you can also remove the dumb phone because you can still be browsing or listening to something, right? Smart speakers nowadays, right? We're living in an interconnected household. So maybe just enjoy the silence. And that's what I get from a lot of the things that you're saying. Enjoy the silence, process the silence, and learn how to operate once again in that silence that, I mean, a lot of us used to have. I know this generation, the one that is growing up right now, did not have that experience of silence or just playing on the street as much as we did. But it's kind of like a good thing to just go back and enjoy the past. Thank you very much, by the way, for stepping in. As we start closing up the podcast, I'd like to ask you one more question. And it is kind of like, where do you see yourself going towards in the digital minimalism area? You're creating content, you're publishing, you know, you're doing all of these different things. But what's your goal? Where are you kind of heading professionally? And of course, we always ask those who use smartphones, do you see yourself using a dumb phone at some point in time?
I'm going to start by answering the last question. Do I see myself using a dumb phone? The answer to that is now that my phone has become a tool, I enjoy it as is. So if I can just keep my smartphone as is, I think I'm okay with the approach I'm doing right now. But let's say there's a time where I can't take off Safari or browsing from my phone, they're just forcing us, I have no problem switching to a flip phone or even just getting rid of a phone, because it's just not worth the cost and time, attention, and just my humanity, because I can't get away from these well-cultivated tech spaces that are very good at just keeping me obsessed and addicted. So it's yes or no. If it works, it works. But if it stops working, I have no problem switching to a flip phone. In terms of where I see my content creation with digital well-being, where that is going. So I am actually trying to start a freelance business doing workshops and trainings for young people around digital well-being and life tech balance, because they need to hear it, like high school students, you know, younger people. So I really hope that I get to connect with the right organizations, the schools, and just get this message out there and get people thinking about, hey, maybe you're spending a little bit too much time. And hey, this is what you, sorry, hey, maybe you're spending a little bit too much time on your phone, on social media. And we know it's not good for your brain. It's not good for your physical well-being. It's not good for your social well-being. And these are things you can do. Even getting people to start thinking about this thing is very powerful, because I think you relate to this. That was the best part for me, right? I read an article by Tristan Harris that started the whole process going, and here I am. So it's good to get that message out. In terms of with my newsletter, my blog, writing about this, there's a quote I love. I have it up here. It's, we teach what we most need to learn. So I'm just hoping to continue learning, applying different things, seeing what works, and improving my own digital well-being, and sharing that experience and lessons with my readers, with people who need to hear it. And again, get them thinking about how they can approach this process, maybe do certain things, try certain things that works for them based on their own needs, experience. And like I mentioned, it is a very much needed topic. I think people are craving for something like this, right? Like even with your creation of like the dumb phone, switching to a flip phone, there are people probably thinking about it, but then they're like, oh, how can I live without my smartphone? And then they see someone like you doing it, and they're like, oh, I guess if you can survive, maybe I can too, you know? So yeah, right? That's all it is. We just share knowledge and hope that people do something with that.
Perfect. Rediscover the pleasures of the offline world, as the tagline from her website. Make sure to check her out at mehretbiruk.com, and the newsletter and everything that you can get in there. Make sure to sign up for it and to hopefully rediscover those pleasures that are most necessary. Thank you for listening to the Dumb Phone Show today. My name is Jose Briones, and as always, we remind you to stay focused on your goals.